WSHU Public Radio thrives because you listen. Listeners keep WSHU strong, and it's donors who make every story, every broadcast possible. Our work needs more donors. Our work needs you. Give now, and your gift will be matched, dollar for dollar, doubling your impact to the station you trust. Go to WSHU.org, make your contribution online, or you can call 800-777-9748. And thanks.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The final vision for Manresa Island's environmental cleanup has been unveiled. A conversation on that is coming up. But first, Connecticut Democrats use an emergency procedure to pass a package of bills. Living in New York is expensive. Some lawmakers are blaming tariffs for that. Plus, snow removal continues in our region, and now we're helping out our neighbors, too. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's Democrat-controlled Senate used an emergency procedure to pass a package of more than a dozen bills yesterday. Also included are some state grants to nonprofits and school-based agencies, including an agency where a Hartford senator under investigation works. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
One contains provisions from a bill that had passed with overwhelming support in the House last year, but died in the Senate following Republican filibuster threats. Speaker Matt Ritter believes it was an abuse of the filibuster tool by a Senate Republican.
I was told that they said this will be 19 hours. I go, 19 hours for a bill that passed 151 to nothing? That's an abuse. So that's where this comes from.
But Republicans opposed the use of emergency certification to pass the bills. They complained that there is no emergency and accused Democrats of using it to circumvent the regular committee process that would have allowed public input. Vincent Candelora is House Republican Minority Leader. He's also concerned one bill includes a $750,000 grant for an agency where Hartford Democratic Senator Doug McCrory works. McCrory is at the center of an investigation into local nonprofits.
Given what we have seen with the potential criminal activity in the building with these earmarks, this bill doubles down on providing more earmarks to organizations.
Candelora says he'll request that Democratic Governor Ned Lamont use his veto power to line item veto the earmarked funds. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong has released a memorandum for the enforcement of existing state laws governing artificial intelligence. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
With AI technology growing at rapid speed, Tong issued an advisory for consumers to understand their rights under Connecticut law. In a letter to Connecticut residents, Tong outlined the rights they have under existing privacy and data security laws. Tong says residents have a right to access personal data collected about them and delete personal data collected through third parties. Connecticut consumers or businesses who believe they have been harmed by the use of AI in violation of law may file a complaint. The Attorney General's office also advised that businesses and individuals exercise caution when using AI systems to ensure compliance with state and federal laws. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says the price of just about everything is up these days, and she places the blame on President Trump's trade wars and tariffs. She wants Trump to end what she calls the, quote, tariff chaos.
I'm demanding that the Trump administration immediately refund small businesses for the costs they incurred due to the illegal tariffs and make sure that these translate to lower prices for consumers.
Gillibrand says an independent study found the average New York household paid over $4,000 last year due to tariffs. She's urging New York workers to write to State Attorney General Letitia James's office to ask for legal support. Despite a court decision striking down many of his tariffs, Trump this week threatened countries around the world to abide by any tariff deals they agreed to. Pending approval, Manresa Wilds in Norwalk will be the largest privately funded environmental cleanup in Connecticut history. A conversation on that is coming up.
Your favorite WSHU shows are always within reach with the WSHU app. Stream news, music, and podcasts anytime, check playlists with a tap, and take us wherever you go. Got something to share? Send us feedback right in the app. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
UConn Health has reached a deal with Aetna to cover its customers at hospitals and clinics. It took months of negotiations, described by a UConn official as spirited. It follows a similar deal with United Healthcare to add coverage last month. The Southold Police Department says some residents have gotten spam calls from their number thanks to a recent cyber attack. Police Chief Stephen Groton says people should hang up if they suspect it might be a spam call and call the police department back to verify. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has gotten her highest ever ratings in a recent poll. The Marist poll says 46% of New York residents approve of her job, her highest public approval rating since 2021. Hochul is leading Long Island's Bruce Blakeman by 17 points in the gubernatorial race. Connecticut has sent cleanup crews to neighboring Rhode Island and Massachusetts to help clear snow from this week's blizzard. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports.
This week's historic snowstorm dumped nearly 38 inches of snow on Rhode Island, making it the worst ever and surpassing the blizzard of 1978. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont said the state has sent 80 trucks and snowblowers along with 125 trained drivers and mechanics. Crews are expected to work 24-hour shifts through at least Sunday. One item Connecticut can't provide is road salt. The State Department of Transportation said road salt is in short supply thanks to the storm. The DOT has provided road salt to cities and towns in the past, but said it could not provide more to cover immediate needs. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
A major makeover is planned for the long decommissioned site of a Norwalk power plant. Pending state and federal approval, Manresa Island will be turned into a public park with some pretty unique features. Officials unveiled their final vision for the park, Manresa Wilds, last week, with the goal of a phase one opening by next spring. I spoke with Jessica Vonashek to learn more. She's executive director of the Manresa Island Corp. So this is a really cool and exciting project. I'm sure that the Norwalk community is really looking forward to having something like this in their city. Could you just explain the significance of a project like this and why it's so unique to the state of Connecticut specifically?
For sure. First, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. Always love talking about the project. Manresa Wilds is, you know, all of the things that you just said. There are hundreds and hundreds of these sites across the country, decommissioned sites that have had previous power plants have been up and operating, delivering power to all of the local residents. And, you know, they've sat dormant for a really long time. In the case of our site, it was built in the 50s and it was built as a coal power plant. And it burned coal all the way when it opened from the 60s into the early 70s. And then in the early 70s, it actually converted from coal to oil. And it ran all the way up until 2013 when it was decommissioned. But what that means is that the community and the surrounding area have not really had access to that site in almost 75 years. And so it's a 125-acre parcel with almost 2 miles of coastline sitting right on Long Island Sound in the city of Norwalk, with absolutely no access and no ability for the community to use that site in any meaningful way. And of course, we know that the plant produced power, but in producing power, it also produced a lot of coal ash. And when it burned coal in the 60s, the site was originally only 23 acres, but today the site is 125 acres. And the reason for that is because when the plant burned coal, all of that byproduct and that coal ash was actually spread out in the lowlands and in the wetlands of the site. And it created a landmass, and that landmass is now what we see 100-acre birch forest growing on. But we know that the site is just absolutely, completely, you know, brownfield and in need of serious remediation. And so that's often why we see sites like this around the country sit for so long, because they just have such high levels of contamination, and we don't really have the ability to move on that and move the needle on that. And thank goodness for Allison and Austin McCord and their philanthropic gift, we have this ability to actually make a different story and a different outcome for Manresa Island.
What can you tell me about Austin and Allison? Did this stem from a love of nature or the Norwalk community? How did this whole idea come about for them?
I think both. They both are very committed to nature and very outdoor enthusiast kind of personalities where they just love to be outside. They're always traveling and spending time hiking and skiing and seeing the world, which is absolutely fantastic when it comes to like bringing perspective to the table and being able to move a site like this forward. They actually have a home that is not far from Manresa Wilds that is a water property that actually looks out directly at Manresa Island, and exactly like their line of sight is the power plant. And so I think they spent a number of years looking at it. They tell a story where they actually went kayaking not too long ago, a couple of years ago now, in Long Island Sound. And they had this really sort of informal conversation that was like, wow, this should really be a park and should not be single family residential or multifamily residential. You know, it should really be open to the public, and the public would get such a great opportunity, like accessing Long Island Sound from here. And so they kind of dug in a little bit and contacted some real estate people and understood that the site was for sale and was being secured by a real estate broker company that was looking to do multifamily and a marina on the site. And they actually were able to purchase the site from them. And so that's sort of when all of this story started.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up access to Long Island Sound, because I think that that's a common criticism that I hear from a lot of people in this state, is like, we have this giant coastline, but very limited beach access, especially like public beach access. You know, you got to be in a certain town or neighborhood to access certain places. So, I mean, is that something you guys heard from the community as well? You know, we live here in Norwalk, but we like can't actually get on the beach.
I think that's a huge piece of it. I think there's like, I think that there's multiple pieces. I think one piece is just that the coast is accessible to, it seems like, the towns that are on the coast, you know, and mm-hmm. that you can get a beach pass or get a water pass. That's one. I think the second is that when you don't live on the coast, you're in a position where you then have to pay for a day pass to have access to the beach, which is can be very, very costly, you know, and there's a barrier to cost there. And there's a barrier to cost for, I think, many of the communities that would like to access the water and may just not have the means. And then I think there's this larger takeaway, which is, you know, what kind of access do you want to give? And the access that we would like to give is through research and exploratory experience and, you know, a different type of takeaway from our site. And so what we would love is for people to not only have access to the Long Island Sound, but have access to research that happens in the Long Island Sound, and also access to more naturalized beaches that you would find if you were to go to like the Norwalk Islands, for example, or if you were to go to kind of like a little offshore island where it's more rocky and more exploratory and you can kind of flip a rock and find a crab and that kind of thing. And so less of a manicured beach and more of an exploratory experiential beach.
And that was just part of my conversation with Jessica Vonashek. Visit WSHU.org to hear more of our chat and to check out some of the renderings of the final vision for the park. For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We've got more on the music you hear, the latest news, and some fun behind the scenes for you there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening. We'll talk tomorrow.